Thank you for joining. We're holding over here in our Mashiach Matters class in the Parshas Vayera, fascinating part. We're learning about the rescue of Lot and his daughters from the city of Sodom. And as we spoke last week, or the other weeks leading up to this week, that this is all Mashiach Dig, because the whole rescue of Lot was mamish. The content of the rescue of Lot was bringing Mashiach into the world. It's interesting. Parshas Vayera means the name of the parshas, Vayera Elov, that Hashem has revealed himself. And that's Mashiach Dig, because what's Mashiach? Mashiach is Hashem revealing himself. The world, there will be Gilui Elokus, there will be godly revelation in the world. So the entire parsha is, and as I mentioned in the earlier weeks, that the coming of Mashiach already happened to a certain degree after Avram's Bris Milah. Once Avram Avinu had his Bris Milah, which means once he removed the klipa that was covering on the holiness in his body, and once he permeated his guf with Kedusha, so that was already in a microcosm, that was the coming of Mashiach. To him, and we have the breakthrough. And once we have the breakthrough, it just has to spread to the entire world. So that's why immediately after the Bris Milah comes the Parsha Vayera, the Hizgalos of Hashem, as we spoke, Kachoyim Ayoyim, the heat of the day, as we mentioned a few weeks ago. The heat of the day is like when it says Hashem is going to remove the sheath from the sun, and he's going to take away the concealment of the name of Elohim, which is the name of the Tzimtzumim, and reveal the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, reveal the Tetragrammaton, reveal pure godliness in this world without any concealments. So, obviously, we're already in Yamos Mashiach. Now we have to connect also to the Neshama of Mashiach, who is the one who's actually going to actualize this and manifest this in the entire world. So that's why immediately after the story of the Avram's Bris Milah, we go on to the rescue of Lot. So last week we had discussed all the parts of the rescue of Lot, because Lot is the grandfather of Mashiach in some weird way. Because as we can see today, when Lot escapes Sodom, he runs into a cave, and in the end his daughters had physical relations with him and they had children. And these children became the fathers of two nations, generally very wicked nations. But from them, there were two gems. Rus comes from Moav, and the other one comes, Naama comes from Ammon, and Rus Rus and Naaman Amoinis become the matriarchs, so to speak, of the whole Davidic kingdom of David HaMelech, descendants, and ultimately Mashiach Tzidkenu. So it all makes so much sense why this is the story that happens right over here. So last week we discussed all the things about how the Malachim came to Avram's house. The Malachim came to Lot, and how they communicated with the Neshama of Mashiach. And all this was discussed last week. I'm holding over here, just to conclude, we are holding by after Lot's wife turns around and becomes a pillar of salt. Then it says, this is actually what we were holding in Perek Yutes Pasuk Chav Zayin. It says Avram woke up rose early in the morning, and he went back to the place where he stood the day before to Davin. And then he says he looked very intensely on Sodom and Amora, and on the whole land that was turned over, and he saw the whole place was smoking. And then here's an interesting pasuk I was going to get to. It says in Pasuk Chav Tes, Vayhi b'shachas alikim es arei akikar. And it was when Hashem destroyed the cities of the Kikar. The Kikar means they were all sitting on one stone. Hashem had flipped over that stone. Vayiskar elikim es Avram. And Hashem remembered Avram. Vayishalach es Lot mitaycha hafecha. And he released and he sent Lot out from this hafecha, from this whole turmoil, from this whole conversion, as the cities were converted. Hafecha sa'adam asher yashmem Lot. When he flipped over the cities that Lot was there. So Hashem at that time saved Lot. Now, here's an interesting thing. This whole pasuk seems to be very redundant. What does this mean? Vayehi, and it was. When Hashem destroyed the cities of the Kikar. And Hashem remembered Avram, Yitzchak Elokim as Avram, Yishalach as Loit mitoich afecha. Simply wants to tell you that Loit was saved in the merit of Avram. He didn't have any own merit to be saved. So why was he saved? He was saved in the merit of Avram. Yitzchak Elokim as Avram. Okay, for that you don't need this whole long pasuk over here. Yishalach as Loit mitoich afecha, and Hashem made sure to extract Loit from this devastation when he turned over the cities that Loit lived over there. Seems a little bit just a lot of very wordy on words that are unnecessary. So here I saw something very, very fascinating from the Agra de Kala, that's the B'nai Yisachar, and he describes something really, really interesting. That he asked a simple question. This whole story of Parshas Vayera began with the Malachim coming to visit Avram, right? So the Malachim come to Avram Avinu, and we know that the Malachim that came, one Malach came to heal Avram, and that very same Malach that came to heal Avram Avinu continued on to rescue Lot. And generally, there is a rule that is brought, and I think Rashi brings it also at the beginning of the Parsha, that Hashem doesn't send one malach to do two jobs. That's why he had to send three malachim. I mean, he could have had one person do all this, one malach. But since malachim are all, or so to speak, one-track minded, they can only do one thing at a time. That's why each one gets it, or another explanation is given, because since Hashem has so many malachim, as it's described, that the endless, infinite amount of malachim there are, so in order to give one malach so many tasks it would be kind of showing that there isn't enough, he doesn't have enough help. So he has to have the same person doing everything. But like this, it's like when you come to a bris, your chair that you're sitting on reminds me of a bris. So by the you come to a bris, the when you have a lot of rabbis there, and you have too many kibbunim. So they don't know what to do, who to honor. So they give like a bunch of, this one picks it up from the chair and he puts him back down on the chair. This one picks him up, he gives him, hands him to this one, hands him to that one. So the Eibishter has a lot of malachim, so he has to pass on the shlichus through all these various malachim instead of giving them all to one malach. So if you hear, the question is, how come the same malach that came to rescue, to heal Avram was sent to rescue Lot? Hashem could have, He has enough malachim on hand to send a fourth malach. What does he send only? What does he have to say malach? The other question over here is, the Zohar says something. The Zohar says that when a malach, when healing, when a refuah comes through a malach, it is a temporary refuah. It's not a permanent refuah. We're asking Hashem, refa'enu Hashem v'nei rafe. We're asking God, we're saying Hashem, you heal us, and we will be healed. And what is the meaning over here? You be healing, you heal us, and we will be healed. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Of course. You heal us. If you heal us, we will be healed. Right? So the words, you will be healed, seems to be extra. So the Zohar says, it's only when you heal us, then we will be healed permanently. But if we are healed through a malach refuel, then the healing is not permanently. It's a temporary healing. Why? And the reason is because the malach, he has a job. He needs to heal. Just like a doctor. A doctor doesn't want to heal you that you should never come back to him. He needs the business. So therefore, he helps you out, and then he hopes that 2 weeks later he'll be back again so that he has the business. Malach refuel too, he wants to stay in business. If he heals everybody and they're healed forever, no good. So therefore, the malach, when he gives a refuah, it's a temporary refuah. Only Hashem has the power, the ability to heal with a permanent refuah, with a permanent healing. So then the question becomes, why did Hashem send a malach to heal Avram Avinu from his circumcision, from his bris milah? Hashem should have healed him alone. And then it wouldn't have been a temporary thing, a temporary refuah. And the idea that he explains is that this was all really a great scheme coming from Hashem. The reason why Hashem sent the malach was all because this was a scheme that Hashem planned out. It was in order to enable this most important rescue. The most important task in the world was to rescue Mashiach's neshama from the klipa, from being stuck in Sedaim. And for that, it required to set it up in this way. And the reason was like this. See, Lot had no merit to be rescued. Sodom and Amorah, those countries were thoroughly wicked. They were as wicked as can be. So there was absolutely no merit to Lot, that Lot should be rescued from, especially since he himself chose to move into the neighborhood because they were wicked. It's not like he lived there for a long time and then, you know, the neighborhood turned sour. Bad guys moved into the neighborhood and the whole quality of the neighborhood became bad. That's not what happened. Initially, it says that when Avram told Lot, you know, you move wherever you want, Lot was drawn to Sodom because it was a place of znus, it was a place of immorality, and he enjoyed that. And that's why he went there. So it comes out that he's a participant. He's a willful participant. Maybe, of course, since he was a cousin of Avram Avinu, he was not in any way close to their wickedness, but he still joined in their party. And therefore, he should have been punished together with them. So when Hashem wanted to save him. The reason why Hashem wanted to save him, because of the spark of Mashiach that was there, in order to save Mashiach, to save the world. But Hashem can't reveal all the secrets. So here's the thing. If Hashem says, I want to save Lot, the forces of the Beis Din, you know, everything works with a fair trial. When Hashem was destroying Lot, I'm sure there was a great court case going on in the Beis Din Shalmayel. Hashem doesn't like doing things just because he wants to do. He runs Melech B'Mishpat Yamet Aretz. Hashem runs the world through a judicial system. And therefore, Hashem has to get kind of permission. So the Beis Din had already sealed the verdict, the guilty verdict for Sodom. When Hashem now needed to get a special grant of clemency, a special grant of pardon for Lot, Hashem had no argument. What is he going to say? Lot is not a tzaddik. And the Midas Adin was going to knock it down. The Midas Adin was going to say, why in the world should he be any different? Now, to reveal a secret and to say that Lot has got the neshama of Mashiach inside of him and I want to save him because of the future, that's not something you don't always want to give away all secrets. So therefore, this is a very deep godly secret, and it's not necessarily there to be given away. So therefore, Hashem doesn't do that. So how is he going to save Lot? So Hashem comes up with this incredible plan. And the idea is like this. He sends a malach to heal Avram Avinu. A malach of healing. Now, when the malach comes to heal, so he was only sent on one shlichus, and that is to heal Avram. Got it? Only to heal Avram. When the malach arrives to Avram's tent, we know that Hashem had come earlier already, because Hashem came to visit Avram. On that very same day, Hashem came to visit Avram Avinu. So when Hashem came to visit Avram, Hashem himself, the visit of God to Avram, that brought a refuah. I think the Ramban says it, that just the mere visit of Hashem to a person, that brings healing. So when Hashem visited Avram, Avram was already healed directly by the Eibishter. Malach Rifoel shows up, and he has nothing to do. He was sent in vain. There's nothing to do. But there is phase two. What's phase two? Avram needs another part to his healing. What's the second part that Avram Avinu needs to his healing? What's the second dimension of Avram's healing? You see, if Lot will be killed, that's going to cause a lot of heartache to Avram, because Avram is his uncle and his brother-in-law. It's going to cause Avram, probably, and Sarah as well, to feel hurt. Now, just like there is physical healing, there's also emotional healing. So when Hashem is... Avram needs now a refuah twofold. A physical refuah he doesn't need anymore. Why doesn't he need a physical refuah? Because that already Hashem took care of already. But he still needs an emotional healing. That if Chas V'Shalom Lot is going to be killed, then that's going to cause a deep wound in Avram's heart. And therefore, so Avram needs a healing. So once the malach was sent already, now here's the thing. Since the rescue of Lot is no more, it's not anymore about Lot, but it's about Avram. Now, in order not to have, now the prosecuting angels above can't prosecute. Because who is going to say that Avram, Chas V'Shalom, doesn't deserve to be healed? Again, so what Hashem set up now is that the healing of Avram Avinu, the rescue of Lot, wasn't anymore a Lot issue. It now became an Avram issue. As a result of that, and you have the malach already here. So therefore, and that's why it's the same malach that was sent for these two shlichus, and that was the only way to bring about this rescue. So now the malach comes and rescues Lot, and that's what the pasuk is saying. Here the pasuk really is very, very geschmack now in the words. As we said earlier, this whole pasuk chavtes, seems to be redundant. So the pasuk is saying like this, Vayhi b'shachas elikim esarei akikar. And let's hear the words very carefully. Vayhi, and it was b'shachas, when he destroyed, who destroyed? Elokim. Elokim is the attribute of judgment. So you have this strong, very strong force of judgment that is calling for destruction. And that force of destruction wants total annihilation. And look what it says. Es arei hakikar. The cities. Now Chazal tell us whenever there was the word es. Es means something. The word es l'rabois. Es comes to add something. But it comes to add something that is a tafel. Tafel means it's like a secondary thing. So vayehi, and it was. When the forces of Elokim, the forces of judgment, were destroying the cities of the Kikar, including with what? S means to add, anybody that's attached to them. You see? And Lot, maybe he's not a resident of Orea Kikar. Maybe he's not as sinful as the actual cities of the Kikar. That's true. But he is still S Orea Kikar. He's at least connected to them. He's at least attached to them. And therefore, the forces of judgment were accusing, were prosecuting, and saying, Lot should not be saved. So what did Hashem do? Vayiskar elikim es Avraham. So Hashem went and he remembered Avraham. And it was, how did he save Lot? Not by bringing Lot. He knows that they will slam him down immediately. The moment he says, I want to rescue Lot, they'll say, Lot, why? Lot deserves to die. Hashem says, I have an issue, Hashem says. This is my friend Avram's heart. He's going to have a broken heart. He just did a bris milah. He just went through a surgery. He just had so much mysterious nefesh. Do you want me to break his heart? So therefore, Vayiskel lekim es Avram. Hashem remembered Avram. And look what the pasuk says. Vayishalech es Lot mitoicha hafecha. His remembrance of Avram is what sent Lot mitoicha hafecha. And now the pasuk continues. Why did Hashem have to do this? Bahafoich esaharim, when he turned over the cities, Asha Yashav Behem Lot, that Lot intentionally went to live there. Now, since he is turning over to the cities, he's punishing the cities, that Lot was a willful participant because he moved there out of his own volition, out of his own desire. So now, therefore, he had no merit. So the only way to save him was by sending Malach Rifael to heal Avram, and kind of through that also heal Lot. So here you see b'chlal, how the Eibishter is busy. You see that the one thing that the Eibishter is busy with, that's on God's mind all the time, is Moshiach. If the Eibishter is busy with anything, it's the coming of Moshiach, because there's nothing that takes precedence over that. Chazal also mentioned that in Parshas Vayeshev, as I mentioned the other class, that when everybody, the pasuk is describing how everybody's busy, everybody's doing stuff. Yaakov is busy crying, the Shvatim are busy selling Yosef, Yehuda is busy, everybody is busy, and God is busy creating the light of Mashiach. And here too, you see that there was a whole orchestrated plan where everything is focused on one thing, to take that holy neshama and to rescue it. Okay, what happens? The next pasuk says, pasuk lamed, it says, Vayal Lot mitzoyar. Lot went up from Tzoyar. So as you remember, last week we discussed that initially Lot says that he wants to go live in Lot asked the Malach to save one of the five cities. There were five cities. The fifth city was settled 2 years after the other cities. As the other cities were founded at an earlier stage than this last city. Just like in America, you know, you had first the 13 colonies, that was the first, and then later they added more and more, till it became the 50 states. So the same was over there, that there were first certain parts and then it was added. Tzoyar was added on later. And therefore, Lot says that what? That they have less, they're not as guilty. They haven't sinned. They haven't yet reached that breaking point. And therefore you can let them live. So then the Malach said, okay. So Lot was going to stay in Tzoyar. But then when the firebombing started, when the shells started falling, And it was like the explosions were heard. And this terrifying quaking sounds of the earthquake, whatever happened over there. When this happened, it was so frightening that Lot was scared to stay there. So as the Pasuk says, Vayal Lot mit Tzayar, and Lot went up from Tzayar, Vayeshev Bahar, and he went up into a mountain. Ushtei benois of Imai, and his two daughters were with him. Kiyara Loshevez Bitzayar, he was scared. He was terrified to remain in Tzayar. Vayeshev Bahara, he sat in a cave, who ushtei benois of him and his two daughters. So of course the Pasuk can be understood on the literal sense, but now let's take a look a little bit and understand it also in a remez, what's really happening. The Pasuk says, Vayal Lot. Lot is going up. Because here, what's happening now, the next story that's going to happen is the actual drawing of Mashiach's neshama into the world. So for this to happen, Lot has an amazing aliyah. He's going to be now a participant. Now again, he's going to be doing, as we're going to see soon, a very ugly act, a very lowly act. But that's his business. The godly business that's happening over here is something awesome. And since he is now a peg, since he is a pawn, so to speak, in the big godly game, in the most important task that has been in the whole time, the most important task, that's why Lot has an aliyah. Vayal Lot. Lot is elevated. And not only that, Vayeshev Bahar, he's now sitting on the highest peaks. He's on a mountain, spiritual mountain. He's now reaching the heavens. He's at the highest peaks of like importance. I'm not going to say of Kedusha, but at least of importance. He's in the peaks. He's in the high peaks of the world. And who's with him? Shtei Benois of his two daughters. It doesn't, now, of course, in the literal sense, it means the two daughters, his physical two daughters that were with him. Spiritually, it means his two future daughters. These two neshamas are bubbling inside of him. See what's going on over here? Lot is now being raised up to the highest mountain. Vayesha Bahar, he's sitting on the top of the mountain. Ushtei Benoisov and Rus and Nama, one is the mother of Shloma of Rechavam, the wife of Shloma Melech. The other one is the grandbubby of David Melech. Who is Ushtei Benoisov Imai Vayeshev Bahar? They're with him. Okay. So now starts this whole strange story. As they are in this elevated state, so you realize now God is already playing with their brains. Because this amazing thing has to happen. So the older one says to the younger one, Avinu Zaken, our father is old. Ve'ish ein ba'aretz lo ve'yaleinu, and there's no one alive now to have relations with us. Kederach kol ha'aretz, in the way of the land. So they're saying over here that there is no one. So what does he mean? There's no one. It seems to be saying that there's no men around anymore. We're not married. There's no men anymore. Ish ein ba'aretz. So what does that mean, ish ein ba'aretz? So Rashi says, simple. They thought the whole world was destroyed. K'moy b'der ha'mabel. They thought that this was the same, that the world had a memory still of the mabel. And the mabel, there was devastation to the entire world and only one family was saved. They thought they were the sole survivors of this nuclear destruction. So here's a little simple question. And therefore they said, and our father is the only man, so we have to repopulate the world, just like Noach was commanded after the Mabel, Noach and his children, to pruervu, to have children. So therefore they said, but there's this interesting thing that they would think that no one survived but them. I mean, they know they have a cousin, Avram Avinu, a great uncle. And everybody, he's the most famous, and he's a big tzaddik. What are they, insane? To think that they're the only tzaddikim who survived, and Avram and Sarah died? Like, what really is happening over here? That they have this machshava, that there's no person alive, and they're the only ones that survived. So the Chasam Sofer has an interesting element over here, in which he says that, and then he asks another question. If they really thought that they're the only living human beings alive, these three people, so then why weren't they open with their father and say, listen here, we have to populate the world and it's a mitzvah. And it was true, we're your daughters and you're not supposed to have relations with your daughters, but listen here, Cain married Hevel. I'm sorry, Cain married his sister and Hevel married his sister. Why? Because it says, but there's no one else. There's nothing that takes precedence over the idea of saving the species. Even in the world, you see that Hashem had embedded this within the world, in the consciousness of the world, is that like the, one of the most important thing for scientists in the world is endangered species. Like if there's an endangered, they go and they make all kinds of rules and regulations because if there's one frog that is ready to come to extinction, then whatever, then we now let her do whatever so-and-so because it's hurting the frog or it's hurting this. How much more so when it's the human being that's being endangered? So, but so they should go openly and say to their father, hey, Pa, you're the only guy alive. We're the only girls. We got to have children. Sorry. So why are they going in this thing? They got him drunk. This is what they did. They got him drunk, and only through that way they had... So why is that? So he says an interesting idea. He says that they realized that their father doesn't... That Loit, they knew Loit is not a tzaddik. And therefore they knew that he does not have... He does not have the merit to have been saved based on his own merit. They also knew that they're not such tzidkaniyos, that they're not such virtuous girls, that they should be saved by their merit. So they're kind of wondering, why did we survive? It's not like they thought that everybody else died. They knew only, let's say they knew that it only happened over here. Okay? They knew it, it's local. It's a local destruction. But their question was, here's their question. This was a local destruction, that's fine. But their question was, why did our father survive and why did we survive? Now, their thoughts were that they had a little bit of an understanding that someone great is going to come out of them. They knew that there was going to be a great dynasty. But they were thinking like this. If the great dynasty is going to come out from Loit, if it's going to come out from Loit, because that's why Loit was saved, then why are they necessary? Loit will get married to anybody, will have children. Loit's wife died. Okay, he's out of the picture. He's not there. But Loit can go, if Loit is the one who is destined to have these children, the great Malchus Beis David is going to come from Loit, then Loit can have relations with anyone and get married, and will marry someone, a woman, and will have children. Then there was no need for them to be rescued. If, on the other hand, they're the ones who contain Mashiach's neshama, David HaMelech's neshama, but it's going to come from another man, they're going to go out of the cave, and tomorrow they're gonna date someone and get married, and then from them Mashiach is gonna come from another man, not from their father. So why was their father rescued? From the fact that they saw their father was rescued and they were rescued, both of them, from this they deduced that it must be that where is Mashiach gonna come from? From the union of both of them and their father together. See? This was their cheshbon. And that's how the Chasam Sofer explains the words. They said, the ish ein ba'aretz, there is no man lavoy aleinu, to have relations with us. They don't mean there's no man alive. There's man alive. Was the fact, this special neshama, the special offspring, the special offspring that we have to bring into the world, cannot come from anybody else. Because if it had to come from someone else, why was Loit rescued? He could have died. If it would only come from Loit, why were we rescued? They realized that they were rescued miraculously. The angel took them out. The guys, the very guys who destroyed it. So therefore, they realized that it must be that it was for this, for some higher purpose. And it has to be through Loit and them. That's an interesting explanation. The Shem Shmuel, on the other hand, also deals with the same question, and that is like, what did they think, that Avram and Sarah died and they served their biggest tzaddikim? So he goes and he gives just an interesting idea. He says this goes back to the very same mistake. Loit's daughters never learned from the mistake that their father had made when their father got into a fight with Avram. Remember the earliest story in Parshas Lech Lecha, where it says that Loit's shepherds were in a fight with Avram's shepherds. What happened? They were grazing in fields of Eretz Yisrael on private property. Avram only let his sheep graze in public place, a place that doesn't belong to anybody, in Hefker, a no man's land. But they allowed them to drive into people's private property, And what was their argument? Their argument is, since Hashem promised Eretz Yisrael to Avram, and Avram Avinu doesn't have what? And Avram doesn't have any descendants. He's childless. Therefore, what? Who is the only inheritor? So who's going to inherit his property? Us. That means Eretz Yisrael belongs to us. That was their mistake. And they didn't realize that Avram was going to have. What they didn't realize was that Avram was going to have offspring. That Avram was going to have children. Following? Okay? They didn't realize it. So the same thing he says happened over here. Here's an amazing thing. You know, they really thought that Avram and Sarah were killed. Because they realized, they thought that the only reason they survived had nothing to do with merit. The question is not whose merit. Hashem is saving only people who are what? That he needs to repopulate the world. That was their thought. That the and, of course, who did Hashem make a promise to? To Avram Avinu. That they're going to be the parents, they're going to be the father of the great nation. But they saw that Avram and Sarah are not having children. In other words, they were quick. It's like when we hear Mashiach is coming. We hear Mashiach is coming. And when we see it's not happening, we start giving up. Chas v'shalom. So they were the same way. You know, they heard that Avram is going to have a great nation. But being that Avram and Sarah became so old, it was not happening anymore. They were convinced it's not happening anymore. So who is going to be the father of the Jewish people? That's what they thought. Who is going to be the father of the Jewish people? Where is it going to come from? It has to be Lot. Because Lot is the only one who is called a Yoresh. You can say Yishmael. Yishmael is carrying the seed. Yishmael is not a Yoresh. The reason why Yishmael is not a Yoresh, because Yishmael was a son of a maid. And being that he's a son of a maid, there's no Yichus. It's not considered even a child in the sense that we should say it's considered your lineage. Chazal say on the slave, Am Hadoma Lachamor. It's a people that is compared to a donkey. It's not considered the human or the higher whatever Indian. So for that reason, they thought. So who's the only one who legitimately is a Yorish? In laws of Yerusha, if there is no son, you look for the closest relative. Closest relative is Lot, who's a nephew, Avram's brother's son. So therefore, they thought that Lot is the inheritance, and he's the only one who can still have children. And they thought, and therefore they thought that Taka the only ones alive, because Hashem saved him and them as the sole family to bring the new offspring into the world. Avram and Sarah had no reason anymore to be alive anymore, because they're not going to have children anymore. So goodbye with that. They didn't know that Yitzchak was still coming. So that's why they thought that the only children, and therefore, they were going to have relationships. Now, here's an interesting thing. Rabbeinu Bechaya, because this is really, really astounding. The Pasuk says, they continue, they say, L'cha nashkes avinu yayin, let us give our father to drink wine, v'nishka ve'imoy, and let us lie down with him, v'nachayam avinu zara, and let's enliven from our father offspring, children. And they did so. They gave their fathers to drink balai lohu on that night. And the first night, the older one slept with him. And then it says, v'lo yada, he didn't know, b'shichba uvkuma. He didn't know when she lied down. He was so intoxicated, he didn't realize. When she lied down with him, uvkuma, and when she got up. Rashi, however, says that there's a dot on the word uvkuma in the hay. To tell you that even though she didn't realize when he was not aware when she began, but after he was aware, Ubakuma, when she got up, he was aware. And still he wasn't careful. He should have said, last night I drank and look what happened. The next night he drank again. He allowed himself to become intoxicated again. And it happened again. The second thing, Nashkenu Yanigama Laila, and they had children. Okay. And then the two children were born. The question over here is, I mean, how can such a, generally what we would think as a despicable act, be a source of such kedusha coming to the world? I mean, the ultimate, most important family, the redemption of the world, the leader of and the, so to speak, the savior of all of humanity and of the world, should be born from something so ugly. And so it's interesting. Rabbeinu Bachaya has a long discussion in which he describes that this is not that we have to realize and take the story very differently and realize that they did not have, that there was no sin over here on their part. Rashi says it, that really wasn't a sin, that they, again, they had good intentions, that Rashi already brings. But he elaborates. First of all, he says it wasn't a sin because a non-Jew, is an interesting halacha, a non-Jew is, even though we know that there are certain, the laws of pertaining to what we call znus or aroyais is one of the sheva mitzvahs b'nei noyach, but it's not with the same restrictions as a Jew. And therefore, a non-Jew is permissible to have relations with his daughter. That's the halacha. It's a prohibition for the Jewish people. It doesn't apply to the non-Jew. I guess today it's been accepted already as a morality in the world, b'chlal, but it's not prohibited. And in addition to that, he says, a few things. First of all, he says the merit over here was that they didn't do it openly. They had shame. So there was an element of tznius over here. Even though we find later that Chazal criticized the older daughter, that she was kind of open that it comes from the father. She said mo'av, she called him mo'av, which means from the father. But still, in general, they acted in a tzniusdig manner, in a modest way. First of all, as we said earlier, they didn't come open. Oh, I forgot to mention earlier. I'm going back to something I forgot to mention. The Chassam Sofer explains why didn't they say openly to their father, if we're the only survivors? Like, he says simply, because based on what we said before, he says they couldn't say to their father that it must be that we have to have relations because why did you survive? Why did we survive? Because that would be disrespectful. They would be telling their father, we know that you don't deserve to survive. And the only reason you survived is to have this child. Going back to what I said earlier, that the reason why they knew they must have relations with their father was because they knew that how come they survived and how come the three of them survived? Right? They should have died. So, but it would be disrespectful to tell them, you don't have any merits, you should have died. So that's why they couldn't tell him. But in any case, Rabbeinu Bachaya says that that's an act of tznius, that they did it in a quiet way. Number two, they didn't do an avera because he's in essence, Ben Noach is permitted to be with his daughter, and in addition to that, their intentions were fully pure. It was for the sake of having children and populating the world. He says because they saw the terrible devastation in the world, and they were scared for, as we said earlier, for the endangered species, human species. And that's why he says, I like one line that he says, "Umipnei zeh lo intimtzeh shehiskebem akas of loshen znus." You don't find the Torah using any term of immorality. That there was some kind of a znus. Znus means immorality. That there's some kind of an avera. The Torah doesn't describe that. Of course, their intentions were good. And he says precisely because of that, they merited good things, great things. That from the oldest one came Rus. Which Rus, what does it mean Rus came? From the oldest one came Rus. And Rus, he says, Rabbeinu Bachaya, is called Rus, which is Gematria 606, because this is the added mitzvahs that she took upon herself. 606 mitzvahs over what was before when they only had seven commandments. Sheva mitzvah nech, now she took another six. And also the mother of And Naama, who's again also a participant in the mother of Malchus Beis David. That's why he says that there is, you see, a continuous bracha in these two nations that Hashem forbids the Jewish people later from antagonizing them and fighting war with them. Because there is something about their birth that was kind of holy. Not holy, but it was with good intentions and it was correct. That is. And that's why he also adds an interesting thing. The Gemara says that there are certain parshias, certain stories in the Torah that we read, but we don't translate. We don't translate these stories. And the reason is because there's something kind of shady about them. Obviously, if it happened, there's a good reason, but we don't want people to read it and get the wrong impression. So that's why there are certain stories where the Torah, they used to have in the shul, they used to have, for every pasuk that the person read, there used to be a translator would translate. But these were psukim, they didn't translate. Because they didn't want the people, the simple people, to know what it means, because they would read it wrong. In other words, it needs a lot of commentary. But this parsha of Lot and his daughters, the Gemara says specifically, you read it and you can be metargam it, you can translate it. And the reason is because there's nothing ugly about it. There's nothing. Rabbeinu Bachai says it's a positive story, not a negative story. That's his opinion. Versus the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, in this week's parsha, and this is so fascinating, I would like to read and conclude with this reading of the Aruch Chaim. The Aruch Chaim HaKadosh in this week's parsha says the exact opposite. And this is a concept that we've been speaking about a lot in the earlier classes, that quite on the contrary, the reason why Mashiach comes out of this union is because this is the kind of the murkiest, dirtiest kind of story. And dafka from the dirt and from the lowliness of this was Mashiach's neshama able to be extracted. In a sense, mekimi may offer dal, that Hashem picks up the dal, which is the neshama of David HaMelech. He picks him up from where? May offer from the dirt. He pulls him from the dirt. And he describes it like this. And I feel like I have to read this inside, because it's just so rich. It's Aruch Chaim in this week's parasha when it speaks about the blessings that Yaakov gives to Yehuda. And he tells him that you're a lion. And he benches Yehuda. Because Yehuda also has a story that was also involving bringing Mashiach into the world. And that was bringing Yehuda and Tamar. Yehuda having relations with his daughter-in-law. And there again, Mashiach's neshama comes, the paternal grandfather, this is the maternal side, this is the paternal side. So how does that work? So he explains like this. I want to give you a very clear hagdama. Hashem has illuminated my eyes with very, very special ideas from the light of his Torah. And that is, ki Adam Arishon hu ilan. Adam Arishon is a tree. All holy souls were embedded in Adam Arishon's neshama. All neshamas that are going to come out. All neshamas that were from the when the world was created and that will all emerge were all included in Adam's neshama. Adam, and when Adam sinned, the unholy side had dominion over him, and they took hostage. They grabbed neshamas from Adam's neshama, la'ein mispar, literally without a number. They took an endless amount of souls away from him. This idea we studied this past Thursday night also over here. If you listen to my last class on Thursday night online of last week, fascinating discussion about this idea of neshamas that fell out of Adam Arishon and were scattered and went into the klipa. I'm also Be'ezus Hashem going to speak about it this coming Monday in the Monday class. V'darshu mal sefer anshei emes ma otzmu hashvuya maktusha ma'aklipa. And you can darshan from the svarim of the Kabbalists how powerful are these souls that were taken, that were now drained, that were taken, that were stolen from Kedusha in the sin and were taken into the klipa, into the shells, the unholy. Then Am Hashem mishtadlim, and our avoda is the Jewish people, our avoda is from the day we came as became a nation, is our avoda is continuously to extract that which the klipa swallowed. We continue this avoda to continuously schlep neshamas out, pull neshamas out from his hand. How do we do it? The way we do it is, we have this powerful, powerful source of holiness, which is the Torah and the mitzvahs that was given to us. That serves as a powerful magnet, and it attracts the sparks. It pulls the sparks back. When we apply the Torah to the world, we do a birur. We pull out all the sparks of holiness that are in it. That's a general rule. We do it as a result of Torah and as a result of mitzvahs. However, he says, gam l'pa'amim. There are also times, b'emtzaz d'veikus ha-nefesh ha-kedusha b'nefesh ha-tumah lo-insa. Sometimes Hashem orchestrates something very, very shocking and painful. And that is a holy soul gets abused gets violated, so to speak, by a klipa. Klipa grabs a holy neshama, and in other words, klipa rapes a neshama, a holy soul. What does that mean? Tzaytzi nefesh chaya lamina. For example, the Jewish people, when they went down to Egypt, the klipa actually were torturing them. And through that, there's a dveikus, but here he gives a more particular example. This is the story with Dinah and Shechem. Shechem, who took Dinah and literally raped her. So what happened over here was, the reason why this happened was because there was a beautiful gem of a neshama inside Shechem. He, in the klipa, had one of those souls, one of the diamonds that fell from Adam Arishan and fell into the klipa. One of those diamonds were in the hands of Shechem. And when Dinah had relations with him, she was that magnet. She pulled that out of him. By the way, the Arizal says, it doesn't say it over here. The Arachaim doesn't bring it. But the Arizal says it went in two ways. Dinah had some impurity in her neshama. Dinah had impurity from who? The Arizal says that she was a Gilgal, or a Gilgalet. She was a reincarnated soul from Avram Avinu's mother. Dinah is Avram's mother, Amaslai. That's what he says. And he says that Terach had relations with, when Avram was born, Terach had relations with his wife when his wife was a Nida. Besides the fact that he was a chief idolater, his wife was also a Nida. She was during her menstruation. And that made it even darker. And that's why Amaslai, she needed a tikkun. She came back in the world and she's Dinah. Terach comes down back in the world and he's Eov. Eov who suffers. The reason why he suffered so much in his life was to cleanse him. Terach. Amaslai comes back as Dinah. She needed a little cleaning. Now, she's less dirty than Eov. Because that Eov was. Eov, because Eov did it intentionally. She was kind of, Terach forced his wife during her menstruation. So it wasn't her fault. But still she needed to be clean. So how did she get clean? Here's what's called crazy. The Arizal says, when Shechem raped her, what he really did was, he's the snake. He attracted the venom that was in his neshama. He schlepped the poison into him, and she pulled the good out of him. See what happened? It was an exchange. Now he remained totally evil and dark, and that's why he was killed. And she remained totally clean, plus enriched with this new neshama. Whose neshama did she get? So he continues, and he says, "Shesha'av nefesh dina hakadusha lenefesh kedusha mimena." The holy dina pulled out this holy neshama from Shechem, and who was that? Shehoisen esuno toich Shechem. V'amar Rizal, the sages say, "Kihi nefesh Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyon." This is the soul of Rabbi Chananya ben Tradyon, who is one of the 10 people who was killed by the Romans, one of the biggest tzaddikim. How, in the words, it says that the Shvatim, that Shechem said to the brothers, if you let me marry your daughters, the land, Rachvas Yadayim, the land is very broad. You guys can do business, you have an open land. The word Rachvas is the words Rabbi Chanina ben Tradyon. What he didn't realize is he's saying, the land is open for you. Come take this special neshama that I have. Okay. Ulupa amim. So that's another way. So again, through this connection, a holy neshama can be taken out. Ulupa amim teitza nefesh ma'atzma. Sometimes the souls just come in alone. Without any extra work, it will come into the world. But then once the neshama comes into the world, in other words, it has to come out from the klipa. Klipa are spiritual powers of darkness. They're holding this neshama. Sometimes they just release the souls into the world. And these neshamas, then, amongst the Gentiles. And these neshamas are suddenly inspired and they're looking for what? To join the Jewish people. And these are the converts that on their own are like drawn to seek. They don't know why they feel such a connection to the Jewish people. When the klipa is having babies and they're creating, this special neshama will also come out amongst the thousands. But once she comes out, she begins to escape. She runs. this neshama runs away, which means that that becomes a ger who runs to the Jewish people, a convert who runs to the Jewish people. And that's the soid of nishmas agerim amazgairim atzmam, people who are magair on their own. Okay. And they long to be absorbed in holiness. And here's this. And here's the point that relates to us. Included, and this is also the case, sometimes in a shamak, they will only release the soul when they see that something is very dirty. See, they don't. They only want to let this neshama out in a very dirty place. Yifchar hashabai shu adam blial. The man, the captor, who's the captor? The one who took the captives. That's the klipa, who is the one who took the neshamas in captivity. He will choose lohoitzi nefesh hakadusha, to release the holy soul, sheshvuya biyale, that he has in captivity. B'makom klipa shehu b'chinas ha'avayin, in a place that's sinful. And if it's very sinful, that's where he's going to leave it. Sheye yoyser maguna, a place that's extra dirty. V'zelecha ois, and this is the sign. Rus ha-moyaviyah yatzaza miznus avu bitoy. Rus, the Moabite, this beautiful neshama, came out from a immorality, from a incestuous relationship of a father and a daughter. V'nama anamoynis, and also nama. V'tafchen ladas, and you should know. And he says an amazing thing. Between the two, Rus and Nama, who is greater? Rus is considered greater. She's the mother of David and Melech. Nama is not the mother of David and Shlomo. She later joins the family. She's not as powerful. Why? Because when the Klipa had these two neshamas, one was like super, super radiant, and one was radiant. One was the highest caliber diamond, and then there was second. The highest one, he looked for an uglier place. He says the older daughter was, the Chazal say, was less modest than the younger daughter. The younger daughter said, called her son Amon. Amon means it's like from my people. Didn't say explicitly it's from my father. The older one said Moav. And also the older one was the one who initiated the sin. So the older one is uglier than the. So therefore, the uglier it is, the darker it is, the klipa released that neshama at that point. And then he continues and he says, if anybody else would have done this, no, it's only because Loit was a big person. If a regular person would have done this, it wouldn't have such children. I don't understand exactly what he means, that he was a great man, great in evil. I mean, even in Ra, there is many levels. He's not, yeah. Any case, that's the idea. And he says now, in the earlier days, we excavated the higher neshamas, the really big souls. And now when Mashiach comes, it's called, the Zohar talks about mata raglin biraglin, when our feet touch the other feet, the feet of the unholy, when the feet of Kedusha touch, which means now we're struggling in the ikvus of Mashiach. We're pulling out the souls that are in the bottom of the barrel. That's why he says that the gerim, the converts today, are not in anywhere the close like the converts that used to be. Because in the earlier generations, we pulled the higher ones. Now we're putting from the bottom. But in any case, this is the idea. So again, the opposite of Rabbeinu Bachai, that something very godly had to come dafka from this. Okay, everyone, have a good week.